This is a Pain Artistry production.
We are two women in academia,
raising questions and breaking down perceptions
from a Black point of view. Welcome to the Black Gaze Podcast.
All right, Dr. Bertrand, what are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about imposter syndrome.
But we can't get started without honoring our OGs, so I want us to take some time to honor our OGs that really helped us understand imposter syndrome. And I'll start with Dr. Sonia Horsford. She was one of our professors when we were in a doctoral program. And I remember going into her office one day and I was very, very down. And I was explaining to her that I was in class, specifically quant class. And if you are taking quant, God bless you and, you know, your people too. I felt like I didn't know a thing. I remember like staying up all night working on these formulas and running these. I don't even know what they call, Lord. Thank God I'm a qualitative researcher. But I remember coming to class and everyone knew what to do. And I was just sitting there knowing nothing. And I think that quant experience carried over into my other classes. So I didn't feel as confident to say anything in class, or when we were reading a lot of the theory, I would be at home saying, what is this man talking about? I have no idea. And so at the time I was Dr. Horsford's graduate assistant, and I went to her office just to kind of check in with her. And I was explaining to her how I was feeling. And she asked me, have you ever heard of imposter syndrome? And I was just like, I don't even know, like, what? What is that? And so then also it was another opportunity for me to be in a space where I didn't know yet another thing. And so she was like, we went over all of the assignments that I had to do for her, but she was like, I'm sending you an article and I want you to read it. She sends me the article. And when I read it, I'm like, ah, that's what it is. So I just want to, you know, honor the fact that I'm glad that somebody brought it to my attention about what I was feeling, because I felt like I was crazy. Who's your OG for the day?
I'm going to go ahead and shout out Dr. Marjorie Hall Haley. She was my advisor during my doctoral program. We used to call her Mama Haley, still do, because she was just an amazing mentor. I had her as a professor before. And I think for me, it was so different being in the doc program, because I honestly didn't know what I was supposed to be like or how I was supposed to act and engage in the sea of whiteness that I was in. And so what happened was, as I was going through, I often felt like, am I good enough? Do I belong here? Is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? And it got to the point where we were doing our portfolios. And I remember she had called me and she was walking me through it because we had to defend them. And she told me, she was like, you know what? I just want you to know that you are brilliant. And it's something about those words that she spoke to me that I was like, wait, if she thinks I'm smart, if she thinks I'm brilliant, then I must be brilliant. So I must be able to do this. And at the time, I didn't actually know what that was, like, that I was feeling. I've never heard of imposter syndrome. I've never heard of, I just know that I felt like I did not belong there and I was not equipped to be in that space. And so what she did for me is, one, she gave me just the encouragement. She gave me just the inspiration to know that, girl, you're supposed to be where you at. Like, you're brilliant. You know, you got this. And it wasn't until after our interaction that I was able to, I think I was reading a HuffPost article, and I was like, wait a minute, this is actually a term. This is actually something. This means something. I wasn't just making this up in my head. And so imposter syndrome is something that I'm happy we're talking about today, because I don't think that me and you are the only people that are experiencing this.
Yes, and I think it's a perfect opportunity, just so we can make it real for you, for us to be authentic and transparent and share some stories that we had with imposter syndrome, be it in academia or in our doc program. So I'll start. So right now, I am finishing up a role as a professor of practice at a Research One university. And honestly, before I got the position, I don't think I clearly understood the difference between a clinical professor or a professor of practice and a tenure track professor. So I'm just excited to be here. Like I'm big excited. And also I had left the classroom and I had been consulting for a while in New York City public schools. And then I was now making my transition into academia. So one thing about me is I know instruction. It does not mm-hmm. matter what class I go into. You know, I had no instruction. So you I was really excited. I was really excited to kind of get into academia and share some of the things that I had learned throughout my time as a teacher and as a consultant. So I will never, ever forget. I was slated, and I'm going to not really share the subject area because I don't want to out these people who lack melanin. But
The people who lack melanin.
Because you know I'm trying to minimize the white gaze, so I'm going to just say.
No, okay. Don't acknowledge.
Don't acknowledge. Okay, got it. So I observed this student, and I understood the inquiry model and why the student was like really facilitating the instruction. However, the student was very scared of the students, like sitting in the back, arms folded. And I'm like, well, what is she doing? Is she going to engage? And so I gave the student feedback and I said, listen, it's obvious to me that you know your content. That's clear to me, but your engagement is off. And I kind of went through the process that we have as clinical professors to give students, you know, great feedback first and then give them places where they can push. But honey, listen, on that day, I received an email from one of my faculty members who lacked melanin. And this is interesting because I actually wrote about this. And basically her response to me was, I cannot believe that you told my student what you told my student. Do you know that I'm a well-renowned professor and people know me all across the country? So for you to tell my student that she doesn't know what she's doing. No, you don't know what you're doing. And I've been doing this longer than you've been.
Stop it. They didn't say that.
Honey, I think she didn't know. I mean, you know, I'm Dr. Porcher, but I think people forget that my name. Listen, my name is Keisha. My name is Keisha, and I'm from Cincinnati, and I grew up in Wind Terrace. Don't you ever forget. And who you talking to? Okay, let me relax.
But if you're world-renowned, why are you telling me who you are?
Why are you telling me and how I don't know you, girl? I don't even know you.
Let me put a plug right there. Y'all stop telling people who you are. Your work should speak for you. When you walk in a room, I should recognize you. If I don't recognize you, that means you ain't doing enough.
But listen, but I remember how that impacted me. So even though I went there and I showed her Keisha, right? Mm-hmm. I thought about that every time I went into the faculty meetings after that, or when I went in to give my students feedback, I was questioning whether or not I belonged there, right? In academia, yes, I was a great teacher. Yes, I was a great consultant, but now this mm-hmm. was a new space and I was challenged when I know this person hasn't ever been inside of a classroom, but that's a whole nother story.
The shade is real on this day.
Listen, but that impacted me. It made mm-hmm. me, like, it knocked me off a little bit. And it was in the back of my mind whether I wanted to acknowledge it or not. And I continuously asked myself, like, yes, I might have fit in those spaces, but do I fit in this space? So I'm going to get off my soapbox and let you share a story that you have with imposter syndrome.
That's funny because your story took place in the academy and we certainly didn't plan this. But while I had my struggles during the PhD program, my story kind of takes place in the academy too, because when I first got hired on as an assistant professor of elementary ed, I was walking into a space. Five of us were hired at the same time. And so these are people from universities, big universities. And I'm not just saying, we went to a research one. So we were good in that aspect, but they had advisors. Many of them were coming in with multiple publications. Like they were coming in on some superstar type stuff. And so when I walked in a room with them, I was already sizing them up and very intimidated about what they were bringing to the table. So the vocabulary that they were using. You know, I'm an around the way girl at the end of the day. And so just like talk to me straight. You ain't got to use all of your dictionary terms or your thesaurus terms. Come on, stay off Google and just talk. And so it was honestly a space that was, I want to say, for lack of better words, threatening to me, because I was like, wait a minute, I started questioning my degree. Like, am I smart enough? Or did we work hard enough? And to be honest with you, Keisha, I got a lot of this stuff out the mud. I didn't have all those, I'm going to put your name on this or you're going to do this, because I actually taught elementary school while I was in my program. And so for me, I felt like, and even I want to say my first 2 years, I was continuously feeling like, am I good enough to be in this space? Do I have what it takes to do this work? Am I really making a change? Is this like, did they just hire me because I'm Black, or do I really belong here? And so there was always these feelings. And I thought, because this is my third year, I was like, you know what? I think that I'm over it. I think I was having a conversation with you, and I was like, yeah, I used to suffer from imposter syndrome. But it wasn't until this semester, what I thought I was delivered from came back, because then this semester, I found myself again in that same mindset, like, wait a minute, am I doing enough? Am I supposed to be here? Like, is this real? Because now people are coming to me telling me I'm an expert. Can you help me with this? And I'm like, oh, I don't know now. You're talking about an expert. I was fine when we was just an assistant professor. But now that you're trying to tell me I know something, do I really know that? So I started questioning myself. And I think that even now, I thought I was done with it, but I'm still messing around with that.
So I think it's important for us, and thanks for sharing, Dr. B. I think it's important for us to name it and provide some definitions and history about imposter syndrome. Because again, as I said before, it wasn't until Dr. Horsford gave me that article that I was able to name what it was. So can you give us some background information on it, please, Dr. B?
Absolutely, because I think it's very important in order to know what's going on with you. Like I said in the beginning, I had no idea what I was experiencing when I was in the PhD program. So let me, because we are scholars, let me go ahead and give some knowledge to the people. To be honest with you, look, to the people, honey. So to be honest with you, imposter syndrome is not something that just you and I, Dr. P, experience. At least it's an estimated 70% of the people experience imposter feelings at some point in their lives. And this actually was provided by the International Journal of Behavioral Science.
Come on,
citations. But anyway, so imposter syndrome was actually coined by psychologists Pauline Clance and Suzanne Imus in 1978. So this thing been around for a while.
And hasn't been around. It's just that naming it, right? Because I'm sure it's been around since 1984.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And there's actually recent scholars that have actually picked up the work of imposter syndrome. But because it's a Black gaze, I'm not going to give them any spotlight.
Okay.
But anyway, but the original psychologists, they defined this as internal experience of intellectual phoniness in people who believe that they are not intelligent, capable, or creative despite evidence of high achievement. And so really, when they made this definition, they began to theorize it. And what they realized is that women are affected by this more so than men are. But then I'm going to take it a little further, because I was reading the Huffington Post. Come on, let me jump in there a little deeper. So I was reading the Huffington Post, and there was a great article in there about how imposter syndrome impacts people of color. And so one of the quotes that was shared was, imposter syndrome is the voice in your head that tells you you're not good enough. People of color are particularly vulnerable to this phenomenon. And the reason being is because everything in society stands against us when it comes to us being Black. So if you're always in a position where you're being told you're not good enough, or this is what your experience is like, you start to take that mindset on. And so you start to, when you get in certain spaces, you really start to own that. Okay, wait a minute. I'm not good enough, and this is not where I'm supposed to be. And there's just one last thing I'm going to share. There was a study that was conducted by a professor out in University of Texas at Austin. And what they found is that imposter syndrome can add to the stress that people of color already feel. Mm. So already are experiencing microaggressions. And we experience that on a day-to-day basis in real life. And then we start to become our own aggressors and filling ourselves with the negative internal dialogue that can actually, it can actually cause harm to our physical and mental health, because we're sitting here putting all these things on us because we're picking up what's around us, the smog that society talks about.
Mm-hmm. Or puts it come on, smog.
Come on. You like that word I use?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's important because I think what you said earlier is say, hey, I thought I had gotten over this. But then as I'm preparing, you know, I'm in my third year and people are coming to me saying I'm an expert. It has come back to me like, am I really an expert? And so you're questioning yourself yet again, even though you thought you were at a space where you have been delivered. So I think it's a perfect opportunity for us to provide some advice, or AKA what we call our preaching points, for how you can deal with imposter syndrome if you're suffering from it, or if you just have experience where you're like, hold up. Was that imposter syndrome? We want to give y'all some advice. So let me take y'all through my preaching points for today. So first up, you deserve to be in the room. Your ancestors, your ancestors paid a price for you to be here. And I think sometimes we forget that, especially when we are the only melanin in the room. We're like, hold up. Did they really let me in? No, your ancestors paid for you to be there, let alone they probably built the institution Absolutely. That you are working in. So I want you to be mindful of that every time you go into a space. And I know that's like super like putting your swag on, but when you come in there, be like, yep, my ancestor built this and I'm what? Here, right? So that's the first thing. Now, y'all know, you know, in our last podcast, you can kind of see our personality coming out. But I talk to myself a lot. Even my husband be like, who you talking to? I be like, me. Okay. So let me teach you how to talk to yourself really quick when you are mm-hmm. experiencing imposter syndrome. Say to yourself, and yourself say back to yourself, I am amazing. I belong here. Do I need to read off my credentials? I'm a boss. Everything mm-hmm. I do is Black excellence. And
everything I do is Black excellence.
And I think having some form of affirmations are extremely important so you can have that conversation with yourself like I do. And I will never forget, where was I? I was at the NCTE conference and Dr. Emden was speaking. And he said, every time he gets ready to speak, he has a conversation in the mirror with himself where he's talking to himself like, your ancestors paid for you to be here. Kill it. Mm-hmm. You got this, right? And we can even go as far back as insecure. You know, Issa Rae be having those conversations with herself in the mirror, honey. Have,
oh my God, yes.
Have a conversation with yourself in the mirror and let yourself know that you belong mm-hmm. here, because no one's going to hype you up like you can hype yourself up. So definitely go in on that piece. And then I want you to go back to our episode one. In our episode one, we talk about the importance of sister circles in academia, or as my husband calls it, the wolf pack. You can call it what you want to call it, okay? But you mm-hmm. need to have a conversation with people about the way that you're feeling, because when you say it, you will recognize that there are other people in the room that are having the same experience, and they'll be like, you know what? You're right, girl. This is how you can have a chess move in the future when you have that experience, right? And don't let me quote my Morehouse brother, PJ Morton. He said he got a song that's called Practicing. And in that song, he says, we just practicing and no one really knows. When you're in classes or you're in faculty meetings and you see people running their mouth, most of the time they don't even really know what they're talking about. It just sounds
good. You better
good,
talk about it.
Right? And so when you're having a conversation with them, or you follow up and be like, oh, in the faculty meeting, you talking about A, B, and C. They're like, girl, I ain't really know about that. Or they can't even drop no receipts for you. So be mindful of the people who are showboating in the room and you think those are the people that really know stuff. We all practicing. We all trying to figure figure this thing out. And we're taking it one day at a time. None of us are truly experts. We're all forever learners or lifelong learners, right? So those are my three things. Know that your ancestors paid for you to be here. Have that conversation with yourself. Say to yourself and yourself, say, what?
What?
Go back to episode one and listen to our episode on just the importance of sister circles and having people around you that can lift you up when you're having those moments and don't nobody really know what they're doing. We all practicing.
I love that. I love that.
Girl, go get your hand towel. Listen, you can put some money in the collection plate for your girl. Okay. All right. So again, it is extremely, extremely important that if you're in academia or if you're in education anywhere, that we have to stay abreast of what's happening. So,
but Keisha, hold on. Let me interrupt because I got advice. Can I give advice?
Go ahead. Go with your advice, Cheryl.
I want to say that I think that one of the things that helped me navigate this process is I had to create a phrase for myself, and my phrase was run your route. Mm-hmm. I think that was my phrase that I used for myself, because what it did for me is it let me know to stop sizing people up, stop worrying about what institution they went to, what they're bringing to the table, and comparing myself to who they are, because we all came from different places. My assignment is totally different than anyone else's assignment. And so what I had to tell myself is, you run your route. And for me, God is my quarterback. So when he throws a pass, I'm catching it and I'm running.
Come on,
quarterback. Okay. So I just want to take the people to church for just a second. So that was one of the things that I had to continuously remind myself, honey. I put it on my bracelets. I put it on all kinds of stuff so I could have a go-to when I felt myself feeling like I did not belong. I immediately told myself, you know what? You need to run your route. And I said this last week, and I'll probably say it every time we have a conversation about the Academy. The Academy was not built for Black people to thrive. It was not. It was not designed for us to be successful. And so as we are navigating this, we have to give ourselves grace to understand that we are doing something that was never done before. A lot of us are breaking barriers. As we are doing this work, we are the first ones to get a seat at the table. So if we don't know what to do, if we don't feel like we are supposed to be in this space, that's fine, because we are doing something different. We are setting a bar here. We are disrupting. We are going into spaces that were not designed for us and doing work for the people that we are trying to serve. So I want us to keep that in mind, is run your route. Don't be sitting here caught up on what this person is doing. Am I supposed to be here? You earn your way there. So if you're there, you're supposed to be there. That's all I got for the people right now.
And I'm going to just end with this preaching point. It might not have been built for us, but it was built by us. Okay? So that's enough.
Come on, Fubu.
That is enough for us to understand that we're supposed to be in this space. And when you're running your route, I'm telling you, you ain't got time for the folks who are in the room showboating. So sorry for not letting you have your advice, girl. So I think
I was like, wait a minute. She's trying to cut. What happened?
So let's discuss what we read in, though, because again, we said this work is so important in terms of, if you're doing this work, you have to be a lifelong learner. You have to be reading to keep yourself sane, and also reading stuff that's just by our folks. So I'll share what I'm reading, though, and my stuff don't have anything to do with academia, but I'm gonna share it anyway, huh? Okay.
That's okay. We can do that, because guess what? It's our podcast.
Okay. So this is the thing. I was a former ELA teacher. So I love reading novels. And when I got into the PhD program, that was a part of me that was, I felt like was snatched away, because I didn't have time to read anything. But remember the articles I told you that I was reading, and I had no idea what they were talking about. Yeah, I was spending a lot of time on that. So once I finished my PhD, like, I made a commitment to myself to start reading novels again. But this book that I'm reading right now, it's not even a novel. It's just it's just love wrapped up in a book. And it's called Love from the Vortex by, in other poems, by Yolanda Celi Ruiz. And girl, if you have, if you are anybody, I ain't even going to say a woman. If you are anybody and you've ever been in love or you just in love right now, honey, this thing will snatch your edges. Do you hear me? Okay, but I think it's extremely important because this book really teaches you how to love yourself very deeply. And I think as a Black woman, we focus so much on holding it down for everyone else. We don't create space for us to really say the things that we want, how we really feel when we're upset, when we're frustrated. And this book just put a mirror up to me. There were so many times when I was reading it, I read it in one sitting. I was crying at one page, saying yes at another page, and saying, Lord, I need to get my life together. But it was so good because it said things that I've always wanted to say, but I never felt the courage to say, because that's not how a Black woman is supposed to show up in the world. So it's just good, good, good. You all should get it and definitely read it. What you reading, girl? What you reading?
What you reading, though? So I actually decided to pick up a classic. I decided to pick up Audre Lorde's The Master's Tools Will Never Dismantle the Master's House.
Come on, classic!
Come in, classic. So, but I think that this right here is a very thin. Actually, the book that I have is so small, very thin book. Starts off with a poetry type vibe, and then it's very much so for me speaking to my spirit on Blackness and just navigating as a Black woman. So it is giving me, it's giving me a vibe, and I picked it up. Actually, what happened was I was driving in my car and the book was on the side. Don't ask. It was on the side of my door. And I was like, yo, what's this? And it was there. And I was like, oh, maybe I need to read you. And so I picked it up.
The book is talking. Okay.
Like, what your name is. I have to read you. So, like, I picked it up. And it's a very, like I said, very small. I'm only on chapter one. So I don't have, like, you told me a story of romance as you were talking about
no
the Lord.
More romance.
Like, listen, I got to go pick that up, but I'm going to let y'all know next week what's going on the next podcast with this book. But I do think that it's speaking to where I am right now as far as navigating the academy and looking at my identity as a Black woman and my roles and responsibilities within this context.
And I think it's so important. I know we're about to end, but there are a lot of us that really could learn from our OGs, like Audre Lorde, who has done this work. Like, we talking about imposter syndrome today, and you drop Audre Lorde, right? And I think that it's natural for us to want to be up on what's new, but I think it's such joy for us to go back to the people who have really already paved the way and told us what we up against for real, for real. We just got to take some time to read through it. And I love those revolutionary texts that really give us an opportunity to see ourselves. So yes, I might have to pick that one up because I have not read that one. So maybe we need to do a swap.
That's definitely one. And you know what? One of the things that I want to challenge us to do is go back to the OGs. I think you just hit a nail on the head because there's nothing new under the sun.
Nah.
Some of the things that they've been talking about, we're experiencing right now. We're trying to recreate something that was already created. So why not just build upon the foundation that was already set?
Come on, build on the foundation. All right, because we will go in again. So
we need to go.
We need to go. So we're going to end this with I see you. And this is just an opportunity for us to elevate the people that we see doing this work and really like dismantling imposter syndrome right now. You want to go first, Dr. B? Who's your person?
I'm going to go ahead. I only have one. Keisha always doing extra. She got about probably 11 people. But I'm focused on my one person. Let me focus on Dr. Terry Husband. Dr. Terry Husband is let me go ahead and call it because he got tenure, professor here at the university where I work at.
Come on, professor.
And, come on, Black man with full tenure.
Somebody
better shout. Come on. And so, listen, everybody, okay? Lottie, daddy, everybody. But area. So one of the things that I think he has helped me with since I even came on my interview here, there was this confidence that he has that I looked at and I was like, dang, I need to tap into that. As I'm sitting here battling imposter syndrome, I need to get into a space. He was kind of the muse that helped me to get into a space to say, you know what? That's what I need to carry with me, that kind of confidence, that kind of walking into a room and sitting down. And he know how to play the game, but at the same time, he's also true to who he is. And even through the process, when I'm having conversations with him and I'm telling him, you know, like, you know, I don't know if I can do this, or I don't know if I should write this, or I don't know how this sounds. He has always told me, you got this. And it's what, just the coolest swag ever. You got this. What you worried about? Go ahead and do it. Like, it's very simple words, but it is also telling me that I can do it. And so as I'm battling inside this imposter syndrome, he doesn't see that. And I want to actually one day have that kind of mindset where it's just like, it is what it is. I'm Black excellence. I'm going to walk into spaces. And when I walk into spaces, things change because I got it like that.
Honey, so things better change when you walk into space.
Come on, Holy Spirit, walk with me. But that's the type of thing that he does. So I want to shout out Dr. Terry Husband. You a real MVP.
Okay. So
Who you think?
Listen, you ain't have to talk about how I always have 50 living people. So
how many you got?
I have two, actually. So my first one, I see you, is Dr. Christopher Emden. And I remember one day it was me and my homie E. We were just chatting in his office, getting ready for an event he was about to have. And we were talking to him like, yeah, you can show up like that because you got tenure. And he was like, actually, no. He said, if you can do everything right as a Black person, you can speak the right way, you can dress the right way, you can show up the right way, and you can do one thing wrong and you become the villain. He was like, so why not show up as your authentic self to begin with? Because you're never going to be fully accepted. You might as well be your true self. And ever since that conversation, it just verified that you might as well do it your way, because you doing all of the things right and checking off all of the boxes from the lens of the white gaze, it does not guarantee your success. So you might as well show up as your best self. So Dr. Christopher Emden, I see you. And my last person is Professor Tasha Austin. She, oh my goodness, you talking about when you walk in the room, like, people start trembling because she knows who she is. And one day we were talking and she said something that just stuck with me. She said, I know I'm brilliant. And I said, well, you just going to swag it out like that and just say, I know I'm brilliant. And she didn't say, she's like, so I don't need anybody to tell me that. And that always stuck with me, that someone who just, I mean, we are in regular conversation. I'm like, these people be tripping. She's like, it don't even matter to me because I know I'm brilliant.
And I love that
because what if we said that to ourselves every day, I know I'm brilliant. Or if when we're teaching our Black and brown kids, you are brilliant. Right? Before they can even feel that in their souls. And she doesn't even know how much that changed me. And every time I talk to her, I'm like agreeing with her, like, yes, you are brilliant. You are. But her confidence to say that, like, with such authority, I will never, ever forget that. So Professor Tasha Austin, girl, I see you.
All right, now that's right there. I love it. Well, I know the people want to hear us forever, but guess what?
We gotta go. So we want to say thank you all so much for listening to our podcast today, focused on imposter syndrome and academia. It's your girl, Dr. Portia.
And it's your girl, Dr. Bertrand.
And we out.
This is a Pain Artistry Production.